I want to share a little bit. You got to know your enemy. I know John and Thursdays we have been speaking of the battle and the things of all of that, and Thursday's teachings are helping us in that. But looking in God's Word, there's important things in there. Now, knowing the ways of your enemy, and I didn't want to focus a lot on this because you read in some areas where you don't want to give a lot of time to the devil. And I generally don't do that. But we've talked the last few weeks back and also about crushing him, and he's already under our feet and we're crushing him. We're already victorious, and you know you're victorious. But I want to let you know that the enemy is still out there, and he'll come back at you again and again. Anybody had him come two or three times? He comes knocking, and sometimes we open the door. Sometimes we don't even open the door, but he's there. Sometimes I was looking this up here. To identify a personal enemy. And I'm going to say this. The devil, he's a personal enemy. He's out here to clean my clock. I don't know about you, but he's out here to come against Tim. But to identify a personal enemy, look for someone who consistently opposes you. Sounds like the devil. Takes pleasure in your misfortunes. I'm sure the devil laughs when I have hiccups and misfortunes. Ha, 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 where's your God now? Speaks negatively about you. You're never going to amount to anything. Look where you've come from. Look at all the sin in your life. God can't help you with that. You're destined to be a failure. You're destined to go to hell. Uh-uh. Pleasure, misfortune. He speaks negatively about me. He spreads rumors. He tries to isolate you. The devil is good. This is not speaking of the devil. This is just looking at personal enemies that we have. But the devil would like to isolate you. The devil does a wonderful job of isolating us to get us away from the body of Christ. People get upset in the church and they run out of the church. I'll never go to another church. And now they're out there in the devil's play field. Oh, they think they're strong, and they might be strong, and they may do well. But after a while and after a season, the devil will have more of them than they really understand sometimes. But your enemy, he likes to isolate you. It talks about manipulate you. Has anybody felt manipulated by the devil? For a while there, until we came to Christ, he was our God. And he was playing us like a fiddle. Oh, the devil came down to Georgia. The devil came down to Tim. And he was manipulating me. He was playing me like a fiddle. I enjoyed where I was at in life before Christ. I didn't know I needed Christ. I was having fun. But your enemy likes to manipulate you. And it's not for your gain, it's for their gain. And we can go on a lot of that as far as what the enemy is. And this is just in generics, okay? But I just, as we were going through this music up here, it just hit me. I want to look this up. It says here that knowing the ways of your enemy is critically important for achieving victory and avoiding defeat. That's why I don't want to give a lot of time to that of the devil. But we need to know a little bit about him and his operations of things. And I think all of us in here, I'm probably speaking into that of the choir. But sometimes it's okay for us to kind of reiterate these things and kind of come to our thoughts again. Whether in the military conflict, whether you're in business, or a spiritual warfare, by understanding your enemy's tactics, their motivations, and their weaknesses. See, your enemy even has weaknesses. Well, for us today, the devil is already weak because he's already defeated. So he has no power to say. He's like a toothless lion out there, seeking who he may devour, who he may Not that he's going to devour everyone, but who he may devour is sometimes it's when we allow him to come into our business and into our ways. So by understanding their tactics, their motivations, and their weaknesses, you can develop effective strategies. You can anticipate their moves. You know, it's good to have a good defense or offense, or to have a good offense or defense, whatever that saying is, but you don't always want to be on the defensive, because when you're on the defensive, that means the enemy is continuing to come at you and come at you and come at you and come at you. And they wear you down. And pretty soon you think the battle is lost. I mean, you look throughout that of history. And again, like John shared very well in Thursdays about the enemies and how the enemy is with that of the devil, but how in militarily speaking and how the Bible is so directed as looking at strategies of how to handle your enemy. Now, we know God is our commander-in-chief. But in many battles, and just this weekend, I kind of get into my little shows of Smithsonian, and they do like D-Day, D-Day, D-Day this, or, you know, the things happening in the Philippines and the Pacific War and stuff. And what they found out a lot of times, and especially in the Philippines and the Pacific War, is the Japanese just continued to just send waves of, you know, they had kamikaze pilots. They finally decided to go, well, we can't get to them by our bombs and all. We'll just take each plane, and each plane's going to be its own missile or own bomb. And they only had enough gas to get out and not to come back. But it was a big thing for them, because they gave a big celebration on the aircraft carriers of, you 50 pilots, you're going to commit your lives today. You're going to die for the cause of Japan. And they'd all probably get high fives and have some sake and all that, you know, juice them up and go, okay, go. We won't see you again. They did the same thing with personnel in the islands of the Pacific, where the American soldiers were there, and they just said they just had waves and waves of Japanese. They just came, and some of them didn't even have guns. They just had spears and swords and stuff, because they ran out of ammunition. But they had so many thousands of Japanese coming at the Americans, and there was Americans lost in that battle because it just gets overwhelmed. It was like for every one American soldier, there was probably 20 or so Japanese or something. It was just a phenomenal off balance of things. But it was just how the enemy dealt with that was they just threw bodies at it. Just throw bodies. Just throw. Nothing else will expend all their ammunition, and they won't have any more bullets, and they'll have to fight like we with swords or whatever the case might be. And see, we find that very much so, the tactics of the devil. The devil likes to just keep throwing things at you and throwing things at you and coming at you. And once he knows that he's got a little bit of a break in your wall of what Christ has done for you, that if he knows he's got a potential break in that area, he's going to keep going and going and going and concentrate in that area to break through it. And for us as children of God, we've got to be wise to that. We've got to be cautious of that. We've got to know these things. The only way you're going to defeat your enemy is you got to know about their enemy. You got to know their weaknesses. You got to know what they're about so that you can counter that. And then you go on the offensive and you go after them, you know? And I'm not saying we're going to go chasing the devil, but I'm not going to sit here and, you know, if I see something that the devil is trying to entice me with, I got to come on the offensive and I got to battle that down. I've got to pray to God and get God's wisdom and God's strength and God's whatever vitality in my life to be able to put that thing down before it comes any closer to me, or God gives me a way to escape. Because there's some of those things I know already that my God says the battle is his. So I'm not really warring with the devil. I just got to be aware of what the devil's doing. And then I got to call on my God, my commander, and say, and God already knows what's going on, but he wants me to know what's going on. And he's going to say, well, are you going to call for my help, Tim? Are you going to call for a strike, a hellfire missile from heaven, you know? A heaven fire missile? There's a hellfire? Something? I don't know. But am I going to go to you, God, and say, help me, God? Or am I going to boast and pridefully say, I can handle the devil? I can take on that guy. Because, see, we get in this thought process like, well, he's already defeated. He's defeated, but he's defeated to a point. But he still has the ability to deceive and corrupt. Achieving victory, to know your enemy's strengths and weaknesses, to have a clear path to victory in any conflict. Informed decision-making, with God on our side, we can have informed decision-making. Understanding the enemy allows you to make better decisions and frame outcomes in your favor. A strategic advantage, you can anticipate their actions, recognize their provocations, maneuver to evade or exploit them rather than being cut off and on guard. And focusing on efforts, you can identify and target the enemy's weaknesses to achieve the most successful and advantageous results. Now, these are all things in the natural in dealing with battles. Battles in war, business battles, personal battles, you name it. We read in God's Word warnings about how the devil will use deception to take people away from God, or to not even have the ability to desire or desire to find even more out about God. They go so far and then they stop and they get taken away again with the cares of this world. The devil, of course, we know, is a liar, a deceiver, a manipulator, and he will twist the truth. He is very cunning in how he will come between you and God. You don't even know he's coming between you. Before you know it, he's between you. Where's that time I used to have with you, God? Where are you, God? And God would say, I'm where you left me. I'm the last place you talked with me. It's the last place that you were serving me. And then somehow, and here we get into the riches of the world come in. And we decide that we want to spend more time with that than with the things of God. We shared in Sunday school, and most of you were there, about the things of, you know, life is a vapor, and we want to strategize and make plans for our future and how things are going to come out in my ways. We don't understand, but God has already written your book. God has already written your book. He's got some phenomenal things in that chapter of your book about what he wants to do with you and for you. But you've got to surrender yourselves into those times. You've got to allow God to come into your life even in a greater measure than what he was yesterday. And tomorrow, you've got to have him in your life even greater than he is today. You cannot just go with the status quo of, I'm okay with God, and God's okay with me. Because there we get that thought process, and the enemy hears that, and the enemy goes, okay, I'm going to be able to trip you up before you know it. And so we got to be looking and looking and looking and paying attention. But the way we do that is with our times and praising and worshiping and reading and meditating and praying to God. But the devil is out there. There's numerous warnings in our Bible to help us navigate through our lives as we lead them here and as we follow the plan of God in our life. I look around and I say, God has a plan for you and you. God has plans for all of us in here. And I don't know where I'm at in that plan, but I know I've got the Master's plan and I'm in there somewhere. I just want to be found going forward. Please continue to go forward with God. Don't stop and rest to the point to say, oh, it's okay right now. I think I've achieved what I need to. I think I'm protected enough. No. A good soldier of anything is continuing always to train and retrain, train and retrain, train and retrain. You go through all of that in trainings of militaries. You go through that with that of even within our law enforcement, to where they do it over and over and over. And eventually you would think to them, it's like, it's just all we're doing is we're playing this. We're just playing out these scenarios. And they give all these scenarios of different things. And they go in for our law enforcement. They go into these schools when there's downtimes. And they will do different types of addressing like a shooter type situation in our schools. And they will see how they train to go down those halls, how to breach into those areas, the safest way to go, what to do, how to do it, what to be, how to advance up a staircase to make sure you've got all the angles are covered for your team. All of these things, they go over and over and over. military goes over and over and over, why train, why train, why train? It's so when you hit that beach or when they drop you into that jungle, you know what you need to do. And they call it back to this, muscle memory. You don't even have to think how to do it. It just comes natural. It's like, throw it over there. This is what I do. Throw it up there. This is what I do. Boom, boom, boom. You don't even have to think. You're almost like a robot, but it's just like because it's been ingrained in you, trained in you, that you don't have to go, let's see, what do I do now? It's like, I'm there. I'm handling it. We've got to do that same thing with that of God and that of what we deal with Satan. We read scriptures. We try to memorize them, and we have a lot of memorization, but sometimes they're paraphrased to what we can remember, right? And that's okay, but as we do these things, it's like muscle memory, spirit memory. When this happens, go to this. When this happens, oh, I remember that scripture. Oh, when this happens, oh, this, that, this, oh, hey, oh. And it's all by memory, a spiritual memory, because you don't have time when a really disastrous thing comes to, oh man, my Bible's at home on the nightstand. Oh, my Bible's, I left it at church. Oh no, you know, and the devil hits me on Tuesday morning. What am I going to do now? I left my ammo. No, as a Christian, as we read and soak in God's Word, we take it and we put it into us in our spirit. We take it and put it into our heart and our minds. Paraphrased is okay, but if you got the crux of what God's Word says, you will be victorious. You will be victorious. And the thing is, knowing when to pull out the right weaponry when you need to pull it out, you know? But you know that you've got it with you. And so we as a congregation, we as individuals in the kingdom of God, we go through a spiritual memory of God and how to handle battles. How did God handle the battle back in those Old Testament times? He just showed up. And chances are, it's probably going to be to where you think the cavalry is coming to help you. He might only send 3 people to help you. You're going to go, oh, great, this is going to go out well, good. Oh, but remember what God did back in those times. Little is much when God is in it and when God is going to perform what he can do. But he just wants us to be aware of the schemes of the enemy that's out there that wants to trip us up. We know that there's distortions. And the distortion was presented, and we've talked about this back in Genesis with that of Eve. But you can go into, Paul shares it in 2 Corinthians 11:3. In 11:3, Paul is talking here in 11 and says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. Bear with me in a little folly, and indeed you do bear with me. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, and that I may present you as a chastened virgin to Christ. Verse 3, but I fear lest someone as the serpent who deceived Eve, by his craftiness, so that your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you have received a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted. You may well put up with it. You may well put up with it. If you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, that you may well put up with it. You've got to be cautious. It's talking about that deception that what Eve had dealt with in the garden. We know that if she was deceived, and there's so many others in the Bible that have been deceived at times for what the devil has done and tried to do, it just behooves us to be aware of that. So Paul shares that in 2 Corinthians. We have Jesus telling us in John 8:4. So we looked at deceptions and distortions. We look at John 8:44. What does Jesus tell us there? As Jesus is sharing here, Abraham's seed and Satan's. And you can read through that. Okay, let's see. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus says to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my words. Because you are not able to listen to my word. Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the very beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him, the devil. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and he's the father of it. He's the father of all lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin, and I tell the truth? Why do you not believe me? Verse 47, he who is of God hears God's words, therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God. What we're capturing in that whole thing is just that the devil is the source of all lies. And I talked about it in times past where before God came into my life, we were serving, he says, you'll either serve me or you're serving the devil. And all of us, before we came to Christ, we were, by default, serving the devil. Not saying that maybe we got into seances and demonic things and all that, but I'm just saying, if we're not trusting in that of a child of God, God is saying then you're the child of that of the devil. And you're allowing him to lead you and to guide you. But he is the source of all lies. We won't go there per se, but in Revelations in 12:9, it talks about that the devil is referred to as the ancient serpent who deceives the entirety of the world. I mean, he is quite a deceiver to where he can deceive the entire world. He's got smoke and mirrors and all of these things out there. Many people think it's God, but it's him, the devil. So that's where we've got to be cautious. That's where we've got to know what we know and to be aware of what the devil is trying to do to us. The devil has many ways to deceive us, but it's up to us to be aware of his operations of things. Remember back in the day, you would hear on police shows like, what's the M.O.? M.O. That would be like, what? Mode of transportation. No, that's DOT, Department of Transportation. M.O. It would be the method of the operations, or what are they known for? What's the M.O. of that person? You know? And they begin to build a thought process of, okay, this is what this person is always doing. This is his method of operation. And now we've got him doing this, and that's probably the same guy that did that 5 weeks ago because it's the same identical way. He stayed the same way, his method of operations. But we have that with the devil. The devil has many ways to deceive us, but we just need to be aware of those operational things that he uses. The one thing is in 2 Corinthians. Let's go there, 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11. 11:14. Talks about in 11 verse 5, the heading of my Bible begins with Paul and false apostles. And it's going through these false apostles and these things that have come throughout that of the church and into these areas that Paul had come to. But in 14 it says, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing of his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works, not God's works. So this is an important part, that he likes to disguise himself as that of the angel of light. He likes to disguise himself in the things that mirror and look like potentially that of God or that of Jesus. We know that Satan was the chief musician and choir director and leader. He loved praise and worship. That's why sometimes we talk about how, you know, in some of our songs out there, that how the devil is in so many of the verbiages out there. And, you know, some of the songs that are out there are pretty downright vulgar, you know, and what is said and how it's shared. So we look at that as far as music and things of that nature. But this is speaking because people say, oh, I saw the light. I saw the light. And I went towards the light. And I would encourage you, be aware of what is that light of. And the only way you're going to know that is to be a follower of Christ, to where your spirit will know. But there's been many times people have been deceived. But we have to look at when people say, I saw the light. And it's not to be fearful of the light, because I just know the light that I follow is that of Jesus. And I believe if something was distorted, but I don't want to boast, but I got to be in tuned with him, that I'm able to decipher good light, bad light. See, the enemy copies, duplicates, and does all that he can to distort even that of the Christian. Because Christians, we think about the light. We talked about we are to put on the armor of light. But we've got to be cautious of the light. And as a child of God, you're going to know the right light. Don't you believe? I think so. I think God has given us an intuitiveness of, I ain't going that way. It doesn't feel right. Things are, I just don't, it's not something I want to do. We look at the false signs and wonders. Oh, this is a big one, guys. 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians 2. The great apostasy. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if it from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, and the son of perdition. Verse 4, 2 Thessalonians 2:4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Verse 5, do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Brightness of his coming, the light of the Lord coming. But it's the Lord's light. The coming of the lawless one is according to the workings of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The mystery of lawlessness, which was in Paul's day already at work, need not be taken as some deep secret. God and evil alike occur in the world. As the first day of the Lord approaches, when evil rouses and the limiting forces are withdrawn, the lawless one will be revealed. But, as made clear a generation later in the book of Revelation, the result will be the final destruction of the Antichrist and all of the forces of evil with God and Christ in the final triumph. Meanwhile, there are many who believe the lie because they did not believe the truth. People will believe something. People will believe something. We find that day in and day out where people believe lies. You tell a lie long enough, people start believing it. It's like it's got to be true. But we got to be cautious of signs and wonders, because the devil can distort those things as well. Again, be prayed up and be filled with continually that of the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said he will lead you and guide you into truth. So there's a few more things that we want to cover within these areas. We've looked at him as Jesus says he's the father of all lies. We talked about how, as in Revelations, the ancient serpent deceives the entire world. And we've talked about comes as the angel of light. And he uses false signs and wonders. We'll continue on next week looking at some areas that he continues to deal with the follower of Christ. That's who he's wanting to work in, is us. He's got the world lost. The lost world is already in his courtyard. He doesn't need to deceive them per se. They're already in his kingdom. But what he's wanting to do is he's wanting to come in and snatch out children of God to see, like, really, this is your God? Remember, why are you going through this if he loves you? All these things, he wants to create doubts and apprehensions about your walk. Many people have gone away that way to say, well, yeah, if I was a child of God, why am I dealing with cancer? Why am I this? Or whatever the case is. So we'll kind of take up on that a little bit more next week. Thank you, Father. My Heavenly Father, Lord, it is so vitally important that we know you. That we know you from our getting up to our time of going down in our beds at night. As we go out, Lord, go with us. We've got the victory. Let us continue to walk in that victory. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, when I think about everything, my, just reminisce with God.